And I'm sure they did, and I'm sure I was not listening or talking to somebody, and it just went in one ear and out the other. But I know preachers that have been run off from churches that preached about this. There's one of them that I wish I could think of his name, but I can't. I'm just going to leave that on. This word doulos is a slave, bondman, man of servile condition. And this is the one that got some preachers run off from church, a slave. The real meaning of it is a slave. But bondman is good because a lot of people don't know what a bondman is in the Old Testament. So you can go ahead and preach it as a bondman and not have people get offended. We had one student, Lord, I thought I'd never forget his name, good friend. And he called me one day and said, "Mac, they're getting ready to vacate the pulpit on me." I said, "Why?" He said, "Lord, I went. I think he went 7 years before he got out of the seminary." And he said, "I preached the other day about doulos." I said, "Did you tell him what it meant?" He said, "Yeah, it meant a slave." And he said, "Some of the deacons got mad, and he said, "They're considering making a motion because I call the church a bunch of slaves." Now, this was a church way back in the boonies, even further back in the woods than the one I grew up in. And one that gives himself up to another, to another's will, whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men, Christ's cause. Well, I tried when I first came up here to find a way to soften the blow on this, and I never did find a way I could really do it correctly. But this was one of the first things I preached on up here, and I got some peculiar looks, so I kind of backed off for a while. What is a doulos? Devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interest. A servant and attendant. That's the full meaning of the word doulos. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now, people often ask me, why do people like to learn about things that have to do with serving God after they're saved? It's because they don't really understand what they are. You say, "Well, I suppose you always understood this." Oh, no. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." It's true that you're saved by grace, but it's the acceptance of it. And until you accept the grace, until you put your faith in Christ that the grace points to, you're still lost. And it involves trusting Jesus. So God sticks grace out to you, begins to convict your soul. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when I preach the message. But this thing about a slave, there's always a bad connotation with someone that's a slave. I preached this long ago here to try to get the point across, and I probably didn't do too good a job. But I'll probably repeat that if God doesn't change my mind, because it's a very important thing. You don't really understand how saved you are until the Lord reveals it to you. So he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I should have learned this long before I did. What did I learn? That Jesus assumed the role of a servant and died for me. And after I received him as my Savior, that is, when I accepted his grace and I accepted him as my Savior, I was saved. And for the first time in my life, although I didn't realize it, I could learn about things that I could not learn about before. The first thing I learned was that I needed to know more about him. The more I learned about him, the more I loved him. Because I realized that he saves you. You are saved by grace, but not until you put your faith in him, which is what the Bible teaches. So then I began to learn things about him. I began to learn things about myself. And I am a slave. And I love it. So why in some churches are they so anxious to cover up slave, and they use different connotations that mean the same thing, but don't get down to the lower thing of thinking about a man in chains down in a chamber, kept there. He's one that gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. That's not easy. So why does he say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And then he says, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I really didn't find any rest until I learned that Jesus did it all. If I were to ask you a question like, what kind of a question could I pose? Do you think Jesus kept every jot and tittle of the law? Do you think Jesus kept all the every jot and tittle of the law? Only God could do that. Do you think that Jesus take my yoke upon you and learn of me? For I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, I figured that out, and I started studying about him. I learned about him. I taught about him. The church grew. People liked it. But when I got in the part that had to do with one that gives himself up to another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men, I discovered why the Lord told the disciples that except they followed him, they weren't his disciples. So why do so many people quit? Because they are devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. I took this straight out of the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. You won't find any better definition than this anywhere. Devoted one to the disregard of one's own interest. When a man learns that, or a woman learns that, they learn that they're a servant. and they stay in God's service. They don't quit. They simply do not quit. Many of them come to the point where they learn it. And that's when things start turning the other way. It doesn't mean they're unsaved, that they lose their salvation. It means that they're not willing to follow Jesus to the extent that he wants. Now, I asked you a question when I started, and I'm going to ask it again. Do you think Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law? What was required for a man to go to heaven? He had to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. Nobody ever did that except Jesus. And so if I say, well, since Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, then you're trusting in what Jesus did to save you. That's easy to understand, isn't it? But how about if I say to you that once you actually take his yoke on you and begin to learn of him, that's your reward. That's what he teaches you. And all of a sudden, you're set free. When that happens, set free to do what? Set free to serve the Lord willingly, free will. You say, where'd you learn that? I learned it from the Bible. I learned it from Jesus. I learned that because you can't say that he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law in one mouth and say, but that isn't true concerning what happens to the other sins that you commit after that. I didn't really learn how saved I was until after I got saved. So I'm not only a child of God by grace, because the same Spirit led me to put all my faith in Christ. That's what it says. For you are all the children of God. And it's that way. You say, well, when you discovered that, I didn't discover it till I got up here. God taught me how to analyze, and he taught me how to be honest with myself, with the people that read my reports and everything. I couldn't find peace until I did. You know what happened when I found out that I could do anything I wanted and still go to heaven? I wanted to serve him. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's true. This is why so many people don't stay in God's service. The reason so many get disinterested. Some landmarkers and non-landmarkers and whatevers, they actually get to the point they don't really understand what's happening because they don't want to go any further. They have a life to live in the flesh. They don't want to make a commitment to the Lord that they follow him after he saved them. But until you've accepted his offer of grace, that's when you get saved, when you accept it. And then there you are in grace and faith, and you're his child. So what happens next? I can give you an illustration straight from the Bible. I'm going to let you look it up. Whenever this happened, this was not an odd event. You know, there were lots of good masters in the Bible, and there were lots of poor men and families in the Bible. And when someone got to the point that they just couldn't make it anymore, they sold themselves as a slave for a certain termination, for a certain period of time. Sometimes it was usually about 3 years. Sometimes it was as much as 7 years. It was called bondservant. The real meaning is slave. But bondservant is the way they dressed it up where they didn't run the preachers off that taught it. Nobody likes to be a servant. I love it. Because I've got a peace that I never had before until now. I was a landmarker long before I learned this. But I learned it and I'm passing it on to you. And I hope it helps you as much as it's helped me. Look this up in the Bible for yourself. You can get a concordance and look it up. Look for the word ear. And this happened quite often. There were lots of poor people in the Bible. And they would sell themselves and their family into bondage. And they got paid a certain amount for it. And after their time of service was up, according to the agreement they made, they were set free, completely free. This happened quite often, so this is not unusual, what I'm going to tell you. You can find this in the Bible. I'd kind of like for you to find it for yourself. Some servants had such good masters that once they became his servants, they loved it. They loved every minute of it. They'd never known anything like that before. They had a wonderful master. He loved them. He cared for them. He didn't feed them slop for food. He loved their children they had. He took care of the whole family. They worked for him. They washed dishes. They didn't have any lawns back there to mow, but they worked for him. But he was kind and gentle, never overworked them, gave them plenty of time to goof off when they wanted to. So what happened? This is not uncommon. This is why a lot of people don't continue in the faith. When it comes time, and they've served the time, they go to their master and they ask him to pierce their ear. They had a little AWL, awl, that they pierced the ear with. And when they did that, it meant they voluntarily, willingly, wanted to stay serving him for the rest of their lives, or the rest of his life. Well, since Jesus lives forever, you don't have to worry about him dying. And if you're that kind of a servant, you don't have to worry about it dying yourself. Now, the truth is, and Chuck grasped this when I sensed that Chuck had grasped it. It was something I didn't grasp for a long time, and I was a landmarker. But I came to understand that Jesus not only fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, that he did it for me. And when I went to him, after the Holy Spirit convicted me that I should go to him, I got saved. And all of a sudden, I began to learn about him. I love being a slave. What have I learned? You ever wonder about when he, several times, the disciples were arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus would hear them. Even though he was far away, he could hear everything anybody said anywhere. But when they came up, caught up with him, he said, "What was it you dissented about? What was it you argued about along the way?" And it says, they answered not. For along the way, all of them had argued about who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. Think about that. Do you know who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God? Remember the one that continued in the faith? It doesn't say that she kept the faith perfectly, does it? It just says she was still doing it when she died. And she was trying. That's what God wants from you. There are very few people that I've encountered that actually come to the point when they want to do it God's way, because they realize I can make this my way and kind of make it a little more compatible. Doesn't work that way. That's why so many people leave the church. They get a dose of this, they look for an easier way to fulfill it. I enjoy being a slave. I love every moment of it. You say, well, then you're a perfect servant. Oh, God forbid that I should tell you that. But the truth of the matter is, whenever I think a bad thought, or whenever I get envious, or whenever I think more highly of myself than I should, I do not find any peace, and the yoke is not easy. The burden is not light. You say, what do? I repent of whatever it is. You say, how long you have to wait? I just keep praying about it and praying about it, and finally I know. And it always has to do with me wanting to think more highly of myself than I should. You say, how long do you think you have to continue this? You should continue it till I draw my last breath. Now, folks, this is not a child's game we're in. This is something that's real and it's genuine. And very few people ever come to realize it. I think Chuck came to realize it a long time ago. People don't put as much emphasis as they should on what God says, here's what I want you to do now that you're saved. It's hard. You say, well, I feel guilty sometimes because I didn't come to church. Very simple solution. Ask God to forgive you and start coming to church more regularly. You say, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. And so this is something that I intend to continue on. And I tell you what, I'm going to go on over here because this won't take long. You all seem to like this overhead projector, and I enjoy using it. I've used it so much. I wonder where that thing is. Yeah. Put that on there, will you, Mike? There's two there. Put that one on first. And I'll try to finish this at 9:45. Who then is, pull that down just a little, doulos, will you accept this? I gave you the definition of it, and that's the straight skinny. It may hurt your feelings. It may make you say, I'm not interested in that sort of a life. Maybe you haven't learned enough about him. Maybe it's something that you weren't interested enough in. You say, I'm interested enough in. Are you sure? I don't think I'm interested enough in it. But I'm seeking it. I'm still learning. Will you accept this? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? That's the word doulos. Whom his Lord hath made ruler over all his household to give them meat in due season. God deals out to you what he wants you to learn, when he wants you to learn it, and when he thinks you're ready. And as he reveals it to you, he wants you to do what it says. And as you do it, your life will get easier. You won't feel guilty all the time. And some people get tired of feeling guilty. To give them meat in due season, when God's ready. You say, who does he use to do that? His own spirit. That's why he calls preachers. That's why he calls teachers. Give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant ecstatically happy, a kyrios, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You say, how long am I supposed to keep doing this? Till he comes. You say, well, we're heading for pretty rough times. I don't know if I can hold on. Well, Jesus has already taken care of everything. You're not going to hell. So why not go ahead and finish it off? You say, I may get killed. That'll be the greatest thing ever happened to you. I believe that. I don't just believe it. I know it. And blessed is that servant when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say, he shall make him ruler over most of his goods. A few of his goods, lots of his goods, over all his goods. What do you think all his goods are? Well, maybe what you wear in heaven. Maybe the position you have in heaven. Why not let it be a surprise? You know that he's going to be ruler over all his goods. Doesn't just say over his goods, all his goods. Will you believe that some of the children will be caught in states of unfaithfulness and unwise conduct by his sudden arrival? You're going to see a massive number of people being judged, and it may be done in the twinkling of an eye at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll get to see their reward right there, and you'll get to see yours. And people can look at you and tell how much you served or what degree you served. And they will also know what kind of a reward you get. You got a long time to go in a millennial reign. You got a long time to go in the heaven age. You say, oh, you really believe that? Scout's honor. I never was a scout. I was a Cub Scout. But Cub Scouts are supposed to tell the truth too. Matter of fact, Cub Scouts probably tell the truth more than regular Scouts. Will you believe that some of his children will be caught in states of unfaithfulness and unwise conduct by his sudden arrival? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. See the word still? Still. How long are you supposed to be faithful? How long are you supposed to keep asking for forgiveness? You say, well, I don't sin anymore. Well, now you're lying. How long are you supposed to do this? Well, do you want the full inheritance? Do you want to be glorious? You won't ever be as glorious as he is, but do you want that? That's why so few people stay in the church and serve God faithfully, because it's something that you have to live with all your life, and you have to keep confessing and keep trying to please him. You say, well, can you do that for short periods? Yes. Man, when you're doing that for short periods, I tell you what happens to you. You feel so good, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And then what happens? You get to feeling, I looked in a pine, pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I? Mm. And then all of a sudden, up you go in opinion of yourself. You say, well, I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. You did the same thing those disciples did. They wanted to know, would they be the greatest in the kingdom of God? I have no desire to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. I used to. Not the greatest, but I wanted to be there. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. That's inside the city. And may enter into the gates, into the city. They're inside the city. Well, you got that other one over there somewhere, Mike? That's all right. Let's put that one on there and we'll see what happens. I think I'll save that for next week. Because we got a quarter till and